pretty exciting week, without a doubt, if you're a baseball fan in this area. And watching that night, you know, kept showing scenes from Nats Park where people are going and just watching on jumbo screen and hearing the excitement, you know, and the cheering. And I thought to myself, why don't we do that for God, man? You know what I mean? Why aren't we excited to come here? Because guess what? You know, 5 years from now, they'll forget who was in the World Series. You know what I'm saying? But we have eternity to be joyful about and thankful about and cheer about and come together as a church family, because it's exciting. I mean, for those of you that are in here that know Christ, and you know Christ when you get to that point in your life when, in 1981, when Kathy and I walked in that church service and heard the gospel and realized, yeah, Christ did die for my sins, and Nikki, you ain't that good. You know what I mean? And I came to that point and repented of my sins and asked Jesus in my heart, and now I know him for eternity, so it can be exciting. Now, at the same time, we can come in here, and a lot of times, being a Christian, it's kind of depressing. When you see what's going on in the world, you see the spiraling down of morals, the way people treat each other, it's very sad. And we see the difference, and we experience things in the world that's so different from what we read in the Word of God and what's going on in the culture where we live right now. And I titled this message, Where Do We Go From Here? Because it can be depressing seeing the condition that the world is in, without a doubt. I heard someone say, if you send your kid, and some of you all have children and they're getting ready to go away to college, a lot of these colleges, I'm telling you, your morals will go downhill in certain colleges because they don't want God in the colleges. They don't want God in the schools. So as Christians, we do our best as parents to have God in our house and God in this place, and I'm glad about that. And I think to myself, as a pastor, I get this blessing to be a pastor, and I pray that as I search for the truth, learn the truth, know the truth daily, that I have to bring it to you that way. I have to bring you the truth, because if I don't bring you the truth, I'm going against what God had called me for, and even the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be able to share the truth with you. Because I'm going to stand before him and give an account one day on, did I do that? It's so important. So where do we go from here? First, in your listening, God, I put, we need to understand the difference between the truth and lies. Because there's a lot of lies being told out there. Now, I have these three verses in John 16 where Jesus said these things. And it was really a promise for everyone down through the generations, and it's going to continue to be a promise until he comes back for us. And this is this, John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, and in your Bible, that's a capital S, and that stands for the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was promising his disciples, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Not some of the truth, not just truth, all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine, declare to you all that the Father has mine, Jesus promised. Therefore, I said to you, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So you have to understand what the Holy Spirit, what his job is, what his calling is, what God has prepared him, because he is God. They're all three. God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all God. Like we are a human being, God can experience himself in three beings. So he will guide you into all truth. He will speak. He will declare to you the things to come. He will glorify me because he will take it mine and declare it to you. So when you realize, when you take the time to read and study the Word of God, it's actually the Holy Spirit making the Scriptures known to him, known to us in our hearts. So you have to understand that. And I got to be honest with you. I am 67 years old. I'm going to be 68 in January. But I am so hungry still for the truth, to want to know the truth, to want to break down the truth, to look in commentaries and read books, because it's the Holy Spirit that makes the Scripture known to us. There's a verse in Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible, says, "The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So whenever we get into this Word, it teaches us how to live, how to love, how to forgive, how to give, how to serve, how to share. We learn all those things from the Scriptures. But when I see the condition that the culture we live in right now, I really think, well, what's the bottom line, Nick? What can you share? What can you tell the people of this in your church? Why is the culture going down so much, spiraling down? And because I think it's truly us surrendering, truly surrendering our lives to Christ. Truly the lack of knowing Scripture and living out His Word are the main reasons why the culture is the condition that it is. I had a 2 or 3 minute conversation with a young lady named Holly Schoenhoff probably 3 weeks ago back there at that visitor table, which really spurred this whole message on. Thank you, Holly. Because if we go around and surround ourselves, like Mr. Rendon said from the Nats, I want to be known as a Christian more than a baseball player. I want to be known as a Christian baseball player. And Rendon wrote, well, if I stay in the Word, surround myself with believers that are in the Word, I think that's going to guide me to live for Him. That's powerful. Give them the trophy, praise God. It's powerful. What a testimony that is for teenagers today and stuff. It's so true. It's so true. I mean, this is not in the PowerPoint or anything, but Wednesday night when we were doing our Tony Evans, he was talking about John 15, I believe it's verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches, he who abides in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So if you're sitting here and you're a teenager and you're thinking you got the rest of your life to live, and who knows, you know, how long, we don't know the day or hour the Lord's going to call us home, praise God. But I can tell you this, if you want to bear fruit for Him, you better be concerned and just hungry for truth. Just to know that Word. And that's why we, you know, get in smaller groups, community groups, or we do ministries here, because we want to treat, you know, the Word of God as God talking to us. And the conversation that Holly and I had, we're worried about this generation not knowing the Word, not hungry for the Word. Because in the public school, you're really not going to get, hey, well, let's open up to John 16 today in English and talk about what the Holy Spirit. That's not going to happen. They don't want that to happen. And here's some scriptures for you. Let's start with some prophets in the Old Testament. Amos chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. I mean, how many years ago was this written? A couple thousand years ago. And it holds true for today. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God. Well, I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but hearing the words of the Lord. And that is going on right now in this country. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. And I ask myself the question, why? Why is there that famine? Because a lot of people here in the United States or around the world, I'm good, man. The Bible's not that important to me. Going to church is not that important to me. You can look around and see all the empty seats. It's really not that important to me. And then the enemy puts things in your ears because he wants nothing else to keep you away from the church of God. Tammy, it's good to see you today. It's good to have you in here, man. Come back, praise God. We love you. Seriously, he wants nothing else but to keep you away from this house, from any house. That's his job. He'll send a famine on the land. It's in hearing the words of the Lord. And I'm constantly asking myself, why? And it's because we don't know Him or we don't pursue Him. Therefore, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, and maybe we could be a Christian and have the Holy Spirit inside of us, but if you cut off that relationship with Him, I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation. I don't want to get into that stuff right now because that's not for me to know. Because the Bible says, the Lord knows who are His. Let everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. But let's say you're living in iniquity and you know the Lord. It's because you're not allowing the Spirit of God to teach you. You're not opening up the Bible so the Spirit of God can teach you how to live, how to forgive, how to give, how to serve. It's so important. And when you cut off the Spirit, you're going to cut off from learning from God. Hosea chapter 4, another Old Testament prophet. My people are destroyed. Why? For the lack of knowledge. It's right there. Why? Because you have rejected knowledge, and I reject you from being a priest to me. And he was getting down on the priest right then. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me, I will change their glory into shame. And they feed on the sin of my people, and they're greedy for their iniquity. And I see that word shame, and I think to myself, we should feel shame in this country for all the babies we're killing in America. And yet 2 days from now, people are going to go and vote, and they're going to vote for candidates that believe it's okay to kill a baby. I can't comprehend that. I can't put that in my mind of thinking of a human being and seeing a little baby that Kathy and I long to have on here on this earth. I read a statistic that back in April, they said in New York City, African-American babies, more were being aborted than born. Can you imagine the wrath of God coming down on this nation because of that? It's sad. And we live in a state of Virginia that's going downhill. And I don't mind telling you that it's spiraling out of control when you have a governor that says, well, you can have that baby born and you can sit in the room and decide whether you want to keep it alive or not. So when you go and vote on Tuesday, it's wrong for me to tell you who to vote for, but can I tell you the truth? Ask yourself questions, like we have voter guides back there. Ask yourself the question, do you agree on abortion on demand, meaning you can have an abortion anytime you want? Do you believe you want to defund Planned Parenthood, which is the most evil organization in the country, is Planned Parenthood? So if you're voting for somebody that believes you can have an abortion, that's a sin. I'll let it go there. Therefore, my people go into exile. Well, let's go back. Oh, I might have skipped a verse. No, I'm still there. Isaiah chapter 5, 3 more verses, 12 through 14. They have a lyre and a harp and a tambourine and a flute and wine and a feast, meaning they have all the things they want or they think they need, but they do not regard the deeds of the Lord or seek the work of his hands. Therefore, my people go into exile. Why? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. We don't need the Bible anymore. I'm good. We don't need church. I have a lot of stuff at home. Seriously. If you want to make a lot of money, go and buy a storage unit, man. They're popular in the United States. We got storage units everywhere filled with junk. I don't know what else to say. They honored men. They go hungry. Their multitude is parched with thirst. Therefore, Sheol has enlarged in its appetite and opened its mouth beyond measure. And the nobility of Jerusalem and her multitude will go down. And her revelers, meaning their partygoers, their merrymakers, and he who exalts in her. And when you think of Sheol, I looked at the commentary for this verse for Sheol. This term in this context pictures death as a great monster. Here we go for Halloween. A great monster with wide open jaws ready to receive its victims. Such was to be the fate of those who perish in the captivity God will send to punish people's sinfulness. And as Christians, where do we go from here? We're living in America. When you see all these babies being killed, it's just sad. It just baffles my mind. But then you can go see a movie called The Joker, which I looked up has made over $220 million. To go and see a guy whose head is gone, who wants nothing to do with God, and will spend $220 million. And then we come across with a movie called Unplanned, which is incredible. It's made $17 million. But if I guarantee you, if you watch that movie, you will see the truth about Planned Parenthood. As Christians, where do we go from here? What do we do with this culture? How do we respond to it? And then I thought, well, maybe as Christians, if we look at the actual consequences from God's word of what's going to happen to us if we choose not to know the word of God, if we choose not to live by the word of God and not live for him. And I see these things in this generation right now. We need to understand the difference between doing well and not doing well. A few weeks ago, I talked about Cain and Abel and how they both gave a gift to God. And you saw in Genesis at chapter 4, one was acceptable and one wasn't acceptable. I read you verses 4 and 5. But then last week in our community group, Joe Leveling took it a couple steps further and read the next couple verses. Mess me up, Joe. Mess me up. And this is what he said in verse 6 and 7. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your face fallen? And all you have to do is turn on news programs and you see the anger. And we talked about it in our group today. Lois is saying the anger and the hurt and the meanfulness coming out of people's mouths. And it says, if you do well, and the Lord said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do well by this, will you not be accepted by the Lord? Yes, you might not be accepted by the world. You're going to be persecuted by the world. But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Which means as believers, we're going to be fighting the flesh and the spirit. And I'm looking back at Nick and saying, Nick, stay the course. Run the race. Keep the faith. Because for the rest of our life, our flesh is going to be fighting the spirit. The spirit's going to want you to get into the word. The spirit's going to want you to do the things of God. The flesh doesn't want you to do anything with the church, anything with the word of God, nothing on how to treat your spouse or raise your kids. He doesn't want you to do that. James 4:17, let me finish that. If you do well, you will not be accepted. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door. It's desire to contrary to you, but you must rule over. James said it in one verse. So whoever knows the right thing and does it, and fails to do it, for him it is sin. What a thing to teach your children. If you're going to go out and do something, if it's the right thing to do, the godly thing to do, God is going to honor you. God is going to protect you. God is going to bless you. But if you do the opposite thing or fail to do what you know is right in your heart, it's sin. So when you think about that, can we really break it down that there's two kinds of people in this world right now? Those who are living for God and those who are not living for God. From the scripture, those who are acceptable to God and not acceptable to God. Those who are living their life pleasing to God or not pleasing to God. That's a question we got to ask ourselves every day. And know this, that God is the God of first chances, second chances, third chance. All he wants you to do is come clean. All he wants you to do is come to him. Because if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. A lot of time when you see me get on my soapbox about abortion because it's such a horrible thing, but God will forgive anybody who had an abortion. God will forgive anybody who did that. He's right there with you to walk with you, to take you through that. Next, we need to understand the difference between wrath and fury and honor and peace, because Paul wrote this to the Romans, love it. Verses 6 through 11. Here's the consequences now. Here's the end of your life. He will render to each one according to his works, according to what he did in his life. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. Isn't that something to cheer for? Isn't that something to fill that stadium up for, that we have eternal life? And just praise him. Verse 8, but for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. So there it is from Word of God. It's up to you whether you want to be well-doing or not well-doing. It's up to you whether you want to be patient and well-doing, seeking for the glory and honor and immortality, or do you want to be self-seeking and do not obey the truth and obey unrighteousness. There'll be wrath and fury. In verse 9, he goes on, there'll be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil. the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good. Who wouldn't want that? I don't care how young or how old you are. Who wouldn't want that? The glory and honor and peace for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Because you know what? God shows no partiality. We can talk about racism and different ethnicities or different nationalities and stuff. That's all out the window. God shows no partiality. So once again, if we know and we learn these things from God's word and we believe that we're true, that they're true, where do we go from here? Where is Kathy at, man? I feel so much energy. That extra hour sleep tonight is powerful. We need to understand the difference between obedience and ignorance. I hate using that word ignorance, but it's in the Bible. 1 Peter 1 says this, therefore, what do we do? How do we go from here? How do we make a difference in this generation, in our families, as parents, in our neighborhood, and at our job? Therefore, preparing your minds for action, be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's something to cheer about. That's something to go to church about. That's something to give glory to God about. As obedient children, do not conform to the passion of your former ignorance. Anybody been there? If anybody was truthful, we'd all raise our hand to that. Because there was a time where we were ignorant and did not know the truth, and our passions were for the things of the world. It is sin. But he who has called you is holy. That's why we come here to worship a holy God. That's why we come here to ask that the radiance from this place, the aroma of this place, would be nothing but pleasing to God. When you read when they opened up that temple in Solomon, they said the robe of the Lord filled the temple. And it was powerful. But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. All your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. You need to understand the difference between being a light versus the darkness. Here from the other night, I love getting together Wednesday night with the guys, because can I tell you something? I've learned from every guy that I've ever sat in a Bible study with. I'm learning from the ladies, and well, Joe, you're a man, in our community group. I'm learning a lot. The greatest man in the kingdom of God, and I would like to add to that, the greatest man or woman in the kingdom of God understands that life isn't all about them. When we can get to that point in our life, Tony Evans writes, we're on a team. Our owner is the Lord. We play for him. We produce for him. Anthony Randone said, I play for God. I'm a Christian baseball player for God. We play for him. We produce for him. We create for him. We invest effort for him. After all, he owns us. He paid the price. He covers, protects, and provides for us. What better way to honor God than by giving him everything we have? Now, here's the culture part. The problem is that many of us have settled for half-hearted worship of God, which is actually fully devoted worship of ourselves. Tony lays it out. When we make ourselves the center of our lives, we miss out on the life God has for us. Is that true or not? Think about it. We make excuses and refuse to give God what he requires. All we are. That is what he requires from us. All that we are. We make excuses and refuse to give God what he requires. All we are. In doing so, we settle for half a life. God has promised us a full and abundant life. But to take hold of that life, we must surrender to him. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what we pray for every week. That somebody else is going to walk through these doors and surrender their life to Christ and know him as their Lord and Savior, and therefore can go out and bear fruit, because we're going to abide in the vine and be a part of him, because it's not about us and it's about him. I will close with these five verses for us. And I want to continue to talk more next week about where do we go from here? What do we do because we know Christ and we're a part of His family and we're a church family here? What do we do with this current culture that we're living in? And next week, I want to take a look at it. What does it look like to have a life for Christ, to live for Christ? Praise God. When you leave this church building every week, I want you to think about these verses, and I'll close. Come on up. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. What do you do as a Christian? Where do we go from here? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. How do we leave this building every week? Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, or crooked and twisted generation, this version says, among whom you like shine like lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I not run in vain or labor in vain. Come on up, ushers. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for these passages. Thank you for Holly Schoenhoff pouring into me. Thank you for Joe Leveling pouring into me. Thank you for the Wednesday night guys just coming and asking great questions. Wow, I think about Brian Dobbins Wednesday night saying to the guys, well, what does it look like to live for Christ every day? What does that look like? And I think of that verse, whatever we do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I think about that verse. And I think about how can we go out of here? What do we do when we go out of here when it comes to the culture? And Paul gave us, walk in wisdom towards them without redeeming the time. Let your speech be always of grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how to answer everyone, Father. Give us the answers. Give us the... Help us to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have with gentleness and respect, Father. I'm going to give you the glory in Jesus' name, Father. Ask you to bless our offering, Father. Bless those that give, Father. I pray that the last 3 weeks' messages about giving and how it's the amount that engages our heart in there, Father. Give us that hunger to give and sacrifice for you, Father, because you gave the ultimate sacrifice in us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In James 4, we're told that we should submit ourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. And in Jeremiah, we're told that if you seek me and find me, you will do so when you seek me with all your heart.
Hello, everyone. I just would like to just ask us to pray for anybody in here that needs prayer. And we don't need to know who they are, because God knows. But, you know, there's people that are struggling, that are dealing with things, unspoken things. And so we believe in the power of prayer here. We believe in God, and we believe that God will meet the needs of those who are in need. He is the shoulder to cry on. He is the embrace of love and peace. And so, Father, I would just ask us to all pray for that. So I'm going to lead us. Heavenly Father, we need you. There are people in here that need you right now. They need to feel your love. They're hurting. Their family members are hurting. Their neighbors are hurting. Their loved ones are hurting. And so, Father, I pray right now that you would go out. Embrace those folks, Father. Give them the peace that passes all understanding, Father. Let them realize that no matter what is going on in their life, that you are there for them, Father. You are the one that loves us constantly, continually, for eternity, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we know you, Father. And if we don't know you, Father, I pray that you would put on each of us right now that desire to know you, to know your Son Jesus died for our sins. And Father, I just thank you for this message. I thank you for this time. I thank you for this church, Father. You know what's going on here, and we believe that you are working in this church, Father. You're working in our church family, Lord. We believe that you will meet our needs, Father. We thank you so much for Pastor Nick, Father, and filling him up with a message, Lord. We thank you that you filled him up with the Spirit and let him speak boldly. And Father, let him speak the truth that comes from your word, Lord. And just, we lift him up, Father, him and Kathy, and Lord, just continue to fill them up with your Spirit, Father. Continue to help them be the leaders of this church, Father. I thank you so much for everyone in here, and I just ask you to be with us as we go, Father. Help us to, not of our own strength, but of your strength, make an impact on those around us this week, Father. Help us to show the love of Christ to someone who doesn't know it. In Jesus' name, amen.